The Center for Community and Economic Development at Michigan State University's podcast, Transforming Tomorrow Together Today, creates informative episodes in collaboration with MSU faculty, students, community leaders, change makers, and stakeholders that highlight innovative tools, models, policies, and professional insights to co-create sustainable prosperity and more equitable economies with communities. I'm your host, Mary Zimbrunnen, Assistant Director of the Center.
The views discussed during this podcast are those of the guest and do not represent the opinions of Michigan State University, the Center for Community and Economic Development, or any affiliated organizations.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I am so thrilled and pleased and privileged to welcome three new guests this afternoon from CityCraft Foundation. And joining me, I have John L. Knott, Jr., an internationally recognized leader in urban and regional planning, as well as Melissa Hall, a regenerative systems scale strategist, and Brent Forsberg, board member for CityCraft. So we're going to dive right in. I want to kick it off and say, what is CityCraft? What is the foundation? And what are you guys doing in Southwest Lansing? Who wants to start?
I'll let Brent start because he's the one who brought me here.
I'm really excited. The CityCraft Foundation is built on what's known as the regenerative values, the idea of creating more in the future than there is today in our communities. I met John through the University of Denver. I was one of his students. And as we talked about how we change the mindset of communities, the values that CityCraft talks about creating those strong connections and building the cross collaboration between groups and finding ways to create more opportunity local, really aligned with what Lansing has been working on for years, which is trying to build this model of stronger connections here and creating more opportunities for the people in the Lansing area. So I was really excited to as our work started focusing on Lansing and John coming in and starting to look at the whole ecosystem of Lansing, to be able to have him come into our community to really start digging in deep. And our first major project for building these connections is in Southwest Lansing.
Brent, are you from this area?
Yeah. So my family's been in the Lansing area for a long time. I've been working in the Lansing area in development for over 25 years now. And the focus has always been, how do we bring community together around the places where we live, our built environment? And that is core to how CityCraft works and why the alignment was so great. And I'm so happy to be a part of CityCraft and also see the collaboration that's building around it in the Lansing area.
So tell me, John, what is the connection then? Brent mentioned University of Denver. How does CityCraft Foundation play into this? What is the foundation? And how does Colorado roll in? And then what are you doing here in Michigan as a resident of Philly? It gets complicated.
Okay, well, I've only been a resident of Philly for like the six or seven years, but I was prior to that a resident of Charleston, South Carolina for 30 years. And then, so I guess the best way to explain this is our work has evolved over the last 40 years. Our largest system scale project that we launched was at the city of North Charleston, the old Navy Yard area, which was one of the most impoverished areas of the entire state. And the city had been trying for 40 years to turn a lot of these things around in that area. And we were approached about addressing what we had done at Dewey's Island and my other urban work. And as we developed the relationship with the city and the master plan process for that community, the New American City Plan was created and has been awarded and recognized internationally as, and still very few examples of that exist anywhere that at least that I know of in North America, if not other areas. And what came out of that planning process was that in order to restore the economic and social fabric and ecological fabric of a city in these type of areas, you really need to go back and look at the historic framework of this of the land itself and the place over as far back as you go. There we went back close to 12,000 years. And what we do is we study the evolution of that area, which brings us to a point of understanding the unique history of that physical place and the cultures and people who were there, which allows us, talking to an impoverished area, to tell a lot of interesting stories that are about the importance of that place and how many important people and situations have been brought to life. And that it's not the place. It's actually the system itself that changed, and things need to be rechanged so the area can be positive and productive again. And what came out of the master planning process was two things: a blueprint, a physical blueprint for the regenerative restoration and rebuilding of a city and all of its systems, its ecosystems, and its human-built infrastructure and life support systems. And secondly, the Noisette Foundation, which is now the Citycraft Foundation, because we realized if the people themselves who are there are not part of the solution, not part of understanding this and actually building this place and understanding the benefits of sustainability and regenerative systems in their own lives, it will never hold. So the foundation was created to create and address the institutional and social framework of a city to rebuild that in a way that can hold it. So if you look at Citycraft Ventures at the time was the for-profit entity, the foundation nonprofit. Citycraft Ventures, the planning and development organization to stand up the physical place in partnership with the city and the community. And the foundation was the social vehicle to rebuild the institutional framework. That then led to us expanding beyond that area and at the request of numerous cities. And the next larger scale system was Denver. And in the, we were invited there to look at the a number of areas in Denver and settled on the West Denver area around the Sun Valley. And so that area, we were working there and developing in the Dr. Barb Jackson, who was the head of the School of Real Estate and Construction Management at the University of Denver Daniels College School of Business, had met me and said, "You need to be teaching here." And that's how I got to start teaching. And I told her, I said, "Well, I don't have an advanced degree." She said, "You have more advanced degrees than anybody else because you've done more." So you need to be teaching here, and I'll help you learn how to deal with the syllabus and all that. And so as a result of that, we started the Citycraft graduate program there. And following that, about 3 years later, I was asked to write a book with three other professors from Regis University in Denver. And we published in 2019 the first regenerative urban development textbook with Routledge Press. That we're using today and has been used in a lot of other places as well. And that's how I met De Brent. And then he was part of my class. He's one of my best students. He was my TA for 2 years and asked me if I would consider coming to Lansing and integrating Citycraft with his work and make that part of his business and his family's work. And that's how I got there. And then this thing has been growing for 5 or 6 years now. We shifted our graduate program to Michigan in terms of its focus that our students work to study and to actually work on real projects in real places. And that's how we uncovered the Great Lakes Basin as the bioregion that we were in through those students and developed numerous programs and recommendations for healing, not just Southwest Lansing. That was the end of the story, but we were always looking for, once we figured out that this made a lot of sense, and essentially the Great Lakes Basin is the third largest economy in the world, and so Brent could actually be local and still be international and be national, because within 450 miles of Lansing you have the third largest economy in the world. And I thought very strongly that Lansing itself could become the regenerative beta research center and leader in the United States in how you turn a city into a regenerative hub and help lead the effort within the Great Lakes Basin itself.
Thank you. And Melissa, now your background is coming from General Motors, is that right?
Correct.
And how did you get involved with Citycraft Foundation? I'm starting to understand the term, the name now a little bit more. Citycraft, it's making sense. So tell me about yourself.
Well, Ingham County Land Bank, through their emerging developer program, Roxanne was the one that told me to connect with Brent and to learn more about development. And I went to Brent, and what I told him was my background from General Motors and what my skill set was. And what I asked him is, what could I help you with? And in turn, I can learn more about development. The thing I did not realize is that Citycraft was working on a project for Southwest Lansing. And the reason why later finding out that was so exciting is I come from Southwest Lansing. I grew up on Railroad. I went to Pleasant View School. And later in life, I lived in Colonial Village. And my start there in my younger adulthood life was kind of not going in a direction. I wasn't financially sound or anything like that. But the bank I was working for at the time, Michigan National Bank, they taught me some financial tools and how to use them, and it totally turned around my life. So when Brent told me what they were doing for Southwest Lansing, and then talking to John about his vision, of course, I was 10 toes deep into the vision.
That's powerful. So Citycraft has this track record then of transforming deeply distressed urban communities, but beginning with an asset-based approach, utilizing the inherent strengths of the neighborhoods, leveraging what resources may be available, including the human capital, from whether it's community organizations to the public school infrastructure. Can you talk a little bit about that and what local engagement looks like using the example of Southwest Lansing?
I have a long background since I was in my mid-teens working in very distressed urban areas as a social worker and community organizer as well. And what I've learned over the years is that people look at these areas as liabilities as opposed to assets. And that's the people as well as the physical place. And And over time, those places are used as dumping grounds by the public and private sector for the things nobody else wants, which makes it even worse. And so, because I come from a master building background, where we're taught that buildings and communities are organic systems, we're really taught about how to look at systems and what I started to do because of my experience in those areas. There was always all kinds of assets. The people were amazing. They just didn't have the resources, and many of them were in situations where there were chains around themselves and power having chains around the area and had no control. And so what we started to do was realize if we could first understand the area itself and give the people a really good sense of the story of the place and then start engaging with them. We have a community engagement process that has four structures to it. And first is getting to know, and we not only tell them the story, and we work neighborhood by neighborhood. We do not work at scale, because what we've learned in any neighborhood in this country, it doesn't matter whether it's poor or rich, nobody knows each other. There's too much transiency, and there's no real bonding going on. And the reason people come together is because of what they hate, not because of what they love. And so we really spend the first stage of them getting to identify What do they really like about their place? What do they like, and what do they think is missing? And that we use unbiased questions in every stage we go through, and we kind of help them emerge each neighborhood by its each neighborhood on its own, a common sense of vision, a common set of values that they want to see their neighborhood lived by, and then once we get to the third stage, we actually bring all that together and to bring the people together so they can see they're only disagreeing about 10 or 15 or 20%, and the 80% they agree on, which then builds trust. So you have to build trust and connection at the neighborhood level, which then builds trust and connection at the larger system scale level. Once you have that, then you can move forward with the plan, and the people themselves can start living out the plan even before physical investment of millions of dollars are being done. And we look at we focus as we're doing this on the professional side with a full scan of every system in the social institutional framework: school systems, libraries, police, prison systems, reentry systems, every aspect of that area, to try and get a handle on what's really going on and what's disconnected. And so the analogy I would give you is, it's I think it's on our website now, is the human body analogy. The human body, Mary, when you go to the doctor, whether you're sick or healthy, the doctor is looking at you as a fully integrated organism, that they can assess all of your systems, and so can the specialists. If you apply that analogy to the city, and this is just any city in the way we operate in this country, what you have to do is you have to take the parts of the body. The heart would be over here, the liver would be over there, the skeletal structure would be someplace else, the thermal envelope would be someplace else. And essentially, the body's laying dormant on the ground, rotting away. And so everybody's trying to fix a problem that can't be fixed, because the organic system of the community is not connected. So our job is essentially to look at not just connecting the human beings to themselves. How do you actually assess the current condition of that organism? Where are all these parts, and how do you bring them back together, and how do you connect them? So it is actually a living, breathing organism that feeds and supports each other.
You're making me think of the idea of connecting the dots, but further, constellations and holistic ecosystems, balancing the people, planet, prosperity, triple bottom line, so forth. Take me through the step by step. What is the Southwest Lansing Regenerative Roadmap Initiative, and how does the Lansing Growth Fund weave into it?
Let's start with the roadmap. When John talked about the assessment that Citycraft is doing, the roadmap is that plan that's going to work through the engagement. So, going through the seven steps of the Citycraft process, the first step is collecting the data and getting all of the information in. So, right now, we've been working on that. The next stage is working into the community engagement to get those stories. And the roadmap, as this builds, is going to look at what's the next 10 years of growth potentially going to look like for Southwest Lansing. This understanding of the initiatives that are going on, building on the foundation of what's there, and then putting together the structure that can then work through building that large comprehensive plan that John was talking about, that touches all the regenerative platforms, that allows for the values of creating more in the future to be there than what we have today through this process. So, as we walk through the roadmap over this next year, that's putting that kind of baseline together to understand where we're at today and have that sense from the community stories and looking at that larger system to say, here are some of the metrics that we're going to be looking at that are important, understanding the values of the five capitals, protecting our ecosystem, building the social connections with people, creating opportunities and pathways for more opportunities for careers in the future, and keeping wealth local and growing businesses. So that's the big view of the roadmap.
And if I could put it into a one-liner, that's not a one-liner. Basically, we believe in community ownership, and we believe in creating value today that will leave a gift for generations to come. So that's the end result of that roadmap. And Mary, it's like what John said of the holistic view. If you were to take a general practitioner, it is that roadmap comes in and it's giving an examination like a yearly physical when you go to your general practitioner. And it's giving a examination that's looking at your history of your body and then is looking at your current condition. And then at that point, your general practitioner will make recommendations. Like they may say you need to get with a physical fitness coach because you need to lose a few pounds. Or they may say we're seeing a rhythm in your heart that we don't like, so they connect you with a cardiologist. And that's what that roadmap is doing. It's identifying what the past condition was, what the current condition is, and then making the connections to make a health assessment of making that community healthy again. Again, it's creating value that will last for generations.
What are the work groups doing? How are you implementing this? And how can citizens get involved?
So the working groups are part, if you get, I think, Mary, you have a graphic of what we call the regenerative platforms, the six regenerative platforms of Citycraft. So essentially, in the assessment process, what we're trying to do is one, we want to get an understanding of the bioregion that we're in, this area is in, which is the Great Lakes bioregion. And what the values that the Great Lakes Basin Compact is setting for that region long term. We're then looking, we look at all the scales all the way through, but to keep this shorter, we're looking at Southwest Lansing in the context of what is its current condition and all elements of health in their buildings, their infrastructure, their human beings, their natural systems, all of that. And then relating that to the goals of the bioregion. We're also conducting a survey of all the stories that come out of that place. Once we get, and the condition of, once we get all of that together, we can now talk to people in the neighborhoods about what those conditions are, and they can tell us about their neighborhood and what they want to see. So it's an exchange. And once we are that, so the community engagement process is, we're getting close to, where the citizens of Southwest Lansing can be involved. There's lots of citizens and professionals and NGO people that are involved in our working groups. And it's sometimes more is better and more isn't. But right now we are encouraging. We have four working groups, I think it is. We have one that's we need to build a data infrastructure. So if you look at the one of the other platforms is the data ecosystem, which is figuring out how do we actually put all this information together and how do we put it into a data system that, like Melissa said, you can do an annual checkup against your plan and events the baseline condition and see how you're doing to get to that new future. But we have to build the, we have to get the information and house that infrastructure somewhere where we can actually, where that group is working on that. Then we have the human built and natural capital working group, which is doing a complete assessment holistically over time of the evolution of this place physically and what all those elements are and what their conditions, including health. We have another working group, which you are part of, which is the financial capital ecosystem group, which is looking at how much capital is coming in, how much money is coming into the system, how much money is being expended in the system, where is that money going, how much of it is being exported, which probably my guess would be close to 80% is going outside the neighborhoods and outside that area, and maybe 60% gone nationally someplace else, as opposed to the money staying in the system and actually reinvesting in itself. And then the fourth area that we're doing is a holistic health assessment. And it is the first time we've actually done this at this scale. So we're looking at the human physical health, the human mental health, the human intellectual health, psychological health, social health, school system health, building health throughout the area, ecosystem health, all of those elements that impact the health of the systems and the people. So that we get a baseline condition for that. And our objective at the end of this year is to be able, we're hoping we can actually, as a result of that information, be able to design medical clinics or doctor's offices in these neighborhoods that are specifically designed for the condition of this community itself, not just a generic approach. And working with MSU and the different hospitals and others, figure out how that to be done. And through the Lansing Growth Fund, we think we can actually fund those.
Speaking along the lines of community investiture, how can the community invest in itself, in the places where we live, work, and play?
So John had mentioned the Lansing Growth Fund, and this is a tool that we've been working on that's based on the idea of community capital, that keeping investment local based on the values of the community and how the community wants to grow. And the Lansing Growth Fund is starting with a project at the corner of Holmes and Pleasant Grove, which is a continuation of the 2016 Southwest Action Plan in Lansing, one of the last key objectives, which is great because it's becoming the transition into this roadmap in the next 10 years of growth in Southwest Lansing. And how it works is people will be able to invest into the Lansing Growth Fund, which will be a mixture of real estate and businesses that the community feels are important to invest in to help build the community. We're working through right now the regulations of it and getting it set up, but it'll have representation from the community on the board, and investors will have input into what are the opportunities that they want to see come in Southwest Lansing and be able to use this investment fund to make those a reality.
And Mary, I want to add into that. When you talk about how can the community invest and help themselves, I shared with you about my background and in my younger adulthood of the shakiness financially. At the time when I was working at Michigan National Bank, they had a program for employees only, and our director had told me about it, and it was a low entry program where I could start investing. They were taking money out my paycheck. It made it the opportunity easy for me to do, even though I was a struggling mom. I told Brenton the story about during that time, I was breastfeeding my son off of one breast, pumping off the other, hadn't ate in month in weeks. And I was running back and forth, if you know Lansing, from the Horrocks area all the way down to what used to be called Capitol Commons downtown. And I would take all my breaks and lunches together and breastfeed my baby and then run back. So financially, I needed something that would let me enter into healing my financial situation, but it had to be a low entry point. And so when I learned about the Lansing Growth Fund, it is exactly that tool. Because many times when we talk about financial stuff, we'll say what it takes for a person to turn that corner, but yet the items that are being offered to us is just quite isn't obtainable because of the lifestyles. So I'm appreciative of the Lansing Growth Fund because it's something that is in reach for whoever. It doesn't matter what financial status you're at. So I'm very passionate about it. As you can see, I can go on and on because it talks to where I was, and it's an equivalent tool that what Michigan National offered employees. But this is offered to the public, and it is obtainable to anyone, no matter where your financial status is.
And that concludes the first of our three-part series on the CityCraft Foundation, Lansing Growth Fund, and the Southwest Lansing Regenerative Roadmap. Join us next month as we explore further into sustainable circular redevelopment on Lansing's South Side.